Welcome to the MRBC podcast. Let's join our new pastor, Jeremy Rands, for today's message, How to Respond When Trouble Comes.
In Psalm chapter number 37, Psalm 37, I want to talk to you this morning and preach a message out of how to respond when trouble comes. How to respond when trouble comes. You know, we live in a world that it's a scary place, isn't it? There's times I have to turn off the news because I just get nervous. Just hearing what's happening around this world. Hearing the world that our children are growing up in. How many of you parents, you're a little fearful of the world that your children they're growing up in? I know I am. In Psalm chapter 37 and verse number 1, the Bible says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers. Neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass, and wither as the green herbs. Trust in the Lord, and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as a noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him." Isn't that a difficult thing to do? Wait patiently for him. "Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace." Father in heaven, I pray this morning that you would bless the preaching of your word. Thank you for the music that we sang corporately, the special music today ministered to our hearts, and I pray that it was pleasing to you. And I pray it now as we gather around your word that you would bless the preaching of it. I pray that your Holy Spirit would work in our midst and touch our hearts, change us today. I pray that you would help those that are going through troubles. I pray that you would increase our faith to be even more dependent upon you. And I pray that we would say today it was good to be in your house. And so I pray that we'd submit to the Holy Spirit working and your perfect will would be accomplished. We pray this and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, we search for peace in the midst of storms. And in this passage of Scripture, we find where the psalmist David is giving us, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is giving us some things to do when we come into troubles. You know, you're not going to live life very long without experiencing some kind of troubles. How many of you have had troubles in your life? I know I have. You know, we're going to have troubles. And here we find the psalmist. He's saying to us in verse number 1, we know that troubles are coming, but he gives us this advice. He says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity." We find here in this portion of Scripture, there's some warnings against us, for us, when we come to the place of troubles in our lives. God warns us not to act certain ways. You know, when trouble comes, it's natural for us as human beings to try to figure the problems out and make the decisions, or even for some, maybe it's time for them just not to deal with it at all. Just kind of put your head in the sand and let life pass by. Some maybe get angry and upset when troubles come. But here in this portion of Scripture, we have some warnings and some things not to do when trouble comes. You know, I'm excited, though, about this. The Bible is not just a book of things not to do. The Bible also tells us what to do. And so we find here in this Psalm chapter number 37, the author here is David, and he is telling us, first of all, what not to do when trouble comes. He's going to show us in just a moment, we'll see as well, what to do here when trouble comes. But first, I want to look at a few things here in this passage of Scripture this morning that I pray that'll be a help and a blessing to you. Maybe you're going through some troubles and going through some trials. Maybe there's some things in your life that are causing you grief and some things in life that is just causing some pain in your life. We find here the first thing that the psalmist tells us here is, fret not thyself. He says this, it's unwise to react with anger or become upset with what's happening in your life. You know, God allows troubles to come in the life of the believer. Don't listen to this gospel preaching by some that you might hear that if you get saved, all your problems are going to go away. You know, that's just not true. There's many that have gone through trials, and they've heard someone say, well, if you trust Christ, if you pray this prayer or you give this money, then all of your troubles and all your problems are going to go away, only to find out this, they've given their money and they've said a prayer and none of their troubles have gone away. For some that are saved, their troubles get worse after they get saved. You know, we find this to be true throughout the Bible, that those that are saved, those that are a child of God, troubles come. We as Christians need to be sure that we're handling troubles correctly. You know, bad news even comes to those that are saved. Bad news and trials come and struggles come to even those that have trusted Christ as their Savior. But we find here that David says, first of all, to fret not thyself. We ought to not get to the place in our lives to where we become angry when troubles come. Realizing this, Christian, that when troubles come, it's an opportunity for us to draw close to the Lord and find out what He desires out of our life. It ought to excite us as Christians that God is working in our lives. Now, if you're like me, I'd like Him to work in my life just minus the troubles. That'd be nice, wouldn't it be? But He's God and He knows what's right. He knows what we need. You know, God has never made a mistake. God has never made a decision that was wrong. And so if a trouble or a trial has come into your life, it's not because God's made a mistake. It's not because God has done something wrong. It's because God knows what is best. And we're told here in Psalm 37 not to fret, not to get angry, not to get upset with God, not to get upset with those that are around us. The Bible also says in this verse, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. You know, it's difficult in the world we live in to look and we see so many that are maybe unsaved or some that are doing evil and it seems like they're the ones prospering. You know, for a Christian, I'm sure a Christian that goes through troubles and go through trials, they might say during that trouble, Lord, I don't understand. You know, it seems like everyone else that's doing evil, they're prospering. Maybe you're on your way to church this morning and the gas gauge is getting low and the finances are tight and you got news you didn't want to hear and it just seems like you're struggling and it seems like things aren't as comfortable as you like them to be and then you're on your way to church and you're just knowing this is where you're supposed to be, knowing though that there's troubles in your life and on your way to church you see somebody pulling a boat to go off fishing. Neighbors going on vacation. You've said, you know, I don't understand, Lord. It seems like those that don't serve you prosper. Why? Those that serve you go through struggles. If you've been at a church like this on a midweek service, you find each week a prayer list is given out. You know what? It seems like the prayer request, the prayer list at churches like this, it seems like they continue to grow. Do you find that to be true? Seems like we're adding new people all the time. It seems like God's people at times go through troubles. And the Bible says this, there's some things that I don't want you to do. I don't want you to get angry. I don't want you to fret. And I don't want you to get envious. I don't want a Christian to come to a place, God says, I don't want my children to come to the place where they think that those that do evil are better off. When we go through trials, we need to keep our minds right or our hearts right because at no time should we think that someone that does not know Christ is better off. You know, it doesn't matter how bad your trial is. Those of us that are saved, those of us that are born again, it will soon be over. When we see Jesus, when we get to heaven, there'll be no more trials. There'll be no more pain. There'll be no more sickness. There'll be no more cancer. There'll be no more hurt. When we see Jesus, when we're in heaven, we will be perfect in a new body, never to hurt again. And so as we're here on this earth, we need to be careful that we don't look at the world and think they have things better than us. If they don't have Jesus, they don't have anything better than us. The Bible also says in verse number 8, I want you to skip down here if you would please. The Bible says, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. We find some warnings. He says, don't fret thyself. Don't be envious against evil workers of iniquity. And cease from anger. Forsake wrath. Don't respond in a hateful way. Don't respond in an anger way. You know, I've heard this said many a times, hurting people hurt people. Have you ever heard that? A lot of times when people are going through trials and people are going through difficulties and they're hurting, they hurt other people going through those trials. And here the psalmist is saying, don't respond that way when you're going through a trouble, when you're going through a trial. Cease from anger. Don't get bitter. Don't get angry with God. Maybe there's someone here this morning and you've got some situations happening in your life. We're commanded here not to get angry, not to get bitter. Don't get your mind off of things of God. And understand and realize this, we are to keep our mind upon God and His faithfulness. I find some things what to do here. You know, I'm so glad the Bible doesn't just say don't do these things. The Bible says there's some things I want you to do to encourage you when you go through a trouble. Here we find in verse number 3, the Bible says, trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight, verse number 4, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Verse number 5, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. You know, the first thing I see in this passage of Scripture in verse number 3, the Bible says what not to do, but then in verse number 3, he says there's some guidelines, there's some things that we ought to do, and the first thing we ought to do when troubles come is trust in the Lord. Let me say that again. The first thing we ought to do when troubles come is trust in the Lord. When things happen in our life that we don't understand, we're commanded to trust in the Lord. When difficulties come and troubles come, we're commanded to trust in the Lord. When we say trust in the Lord, what do we trust in? You know, there's some things I believe about God that we can trust in. We can trust in God's character. You know, there's a lot of people that have hurt us. There's a lot of people that shouldn't have hurt us that have. But there's something about God that has never been in question, and God's character has never been in question. One of the things I constantly try to teach my children, and especially my son, as he's getting older and becoming a teenage young man, I try to tell him that your character is so important. Your character is important. Honesty and integrity. You know, what you can trust, even though we have failed ourselves, even though those around us have failed us, God's character never fails. You can trust in the character of God. If you're here this morning and you're maybe new as a Christian, I would submit this to you. Learn to trust in the character of God. Don't doubt God. Don't question God. Don't think that God may have it wrong. God is always right. God is always honest. God is always true. His character is always trustworthy. And if God says it, it's going to happen. His character is always right. When we go through troubles, trust in the character of God. Trust in the Word of God. You know, the Bible teaches us about God's Word. All throughout the Scripture we can find, we ought to have confidence in the Word of God. All throughout Scripture there's promises that we can trust in. There's commands that are to be obeyed. We can trust in the Word of God. I would commit this morning to you that God's Word is worth trusting in. If God's Word says it, we can believe it. You know, there's a lot that doubt the Word of God. In America today, the majority don't believe that the Word of God is God's holy word. They don't believe that it's inspired of God. They don't believe that it's God's word. They believe that maybe there's some man that wrote some stories and man's opinion. But I would say this, that God's word is worthy to be trusted in. It's always right. If God's word says it, it's true. Any story in the Bible is truth. There's no fairy tales. There's nothing made up. There's no promises that God didn't intend to keep and to hold. God's word is worth trusting in. And when you're going through troubles and you're going through trials, go to God's Word and find in God's Word what you need for strength. There's a little book that I have that's called The Promises of God. And someone went through and took all the promises in God's Word and put them in a book. So if you're going through a certain trial, you can look in the front of that book and go to that page, and there's Bible verses that can help you and encourage you through those trials. You know, God's Word is what we ought to turn to when trials come. We ought to trust in the Lord, trust in God's character, trust in God's word, trust in God's purposes. You know, God has a purpose and a plan for each and every person. We need to learn to trust in Him. You know, our life doesn't have to be the way we want it to be in order for us, then we should trust God. If everything is the way I want it, God, I'll trust in you. If everything is the way I ask for it, then I'll trust in you. If you do it the way I want it done, then I'll trust you. Listen, God is not a genie in a magic bottle that we kind of rub when we get our wishes. No, God is the Almighty. He's the creator of this universe, and He is always right, and He is always perfect, and He is always just, and we need to trust in His purpose. His purpose for your life is going to be different than somebody else's. I would encourage you this morning, as you're going through trials, don't look at somebody else's life and say, oh, if I only had what they had, if I only had the blessings they had, or why doesn't God bless me like He blesses someone else? The reason why is God has a purpose for your life, and God has a purpose for their life, and it's a different purpose, but His purpose is always worth trusting in. He doesn't make mistakes. Trust in the Lord. Trust in God's promises. If He said it, we can believe it. If you're here today and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, He's promised that He would save you if you ask Him. He sent His Son, and His Son shed His blood on the cross. And the Bible says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's a promise of God. And maybe you're here today and you're doubting your salvation. You're saying, I don't know. I just don't feel good enough to be saved. You don't have to feel good enough to be saved. It's not based on your goodness. It's not based on your merit. It's based on Jesus Christ and what He did on the cross. His promise is true. If you're here today and you've got troubles and trials, trust in His promise. You know, God's promises have never failed. Never failed. There's not a person living that can say that God's promises failed me. There's no one that can say that God said that He would do something and He lied and what He promised didn't come true. You can trust in God's promises. You know, trust in God's power. Do you believe there's power in the cross? There's power. We looked in the previous service here. There's four men that took their friend to Jesus. And their friend, they put him up on the roof and they dropped them down in front of Jesus. You know, they found out that day that there's power in God. Jesus Christ had power. He had power not only to heal that person. He has power to forgive them of your sins. He has the power to save you. He has the power to seal you. He has the power to bless you. He has the power to help you in any trial. He has all power, and we need to trust in God today and trust in His power. Let's not doubt God's power. You know, as we look at things that happen around this world, sometimes it's easy for us to question, God, what are you doing? You know, I have five children, and I don't know what this world is going to be like when they get older. And the truth of the matter is, as a dad, I get fearful. I've got four girls, and sometimes I wonder, who are they going to marry? Are there four guys out there that are worth marrying? I wonder, is there any hope? We look at the things surrounding us in our country and some of the decisions that are made in our court systems and our political leaders, and we wonder, is there any hope? Is there any hope left? I want to tell you this. Don't put your hope in the political system. Don't put your hope in the Supreme Court. Don't put your hope in the government. Put your hope and trust in Jesus Christ. There's power in Christ. Nothing is taking God by surprise. Nothing is altering His plan for your life. There's nothing that's happened where God said, I'm not sure exactly what happened in their life. I'm not sure what just happened. I must have turned around and something bad happened to my children. No, if something is happening in your life, it's because God has allowed it, and God can give you the power you need to get through any struggle you have. I remind you of the story of Job. It was God that said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? And Satan touched So many of things that belong to Job, his family, his health, and in his belongings. And Job found this: I don't need any of those things. There's still power in God. There's still power in prayer. There's still power in the presence of God. There's still power in the cross. There's still power in the blood. Trust in God this morning. Every person delights in something. I want you to see in verse number 4, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Every single person delights in something. What are you delighting in today? The Bible says this: when you're going through troubles, when you're going through trials in your life, that trust in God, and also we need to learn to delight ourselves in the Lord. Enjoy being in the presence of God. You know, I love spending time with my wife. I love it. Now, I like spending time with my children as well, but there's times I like just to get a babysitter and spend time with my wife. There's times my wife, though, it seems like she just likes being around our kids. I've said to my wife before, you need to stop enjoying them so much and start enjoying me a little bit more. It's not just that it's too expensive to take them out to dinner. It's easier with just me and my wife. It's I like to spend time with her. You know, there's times that I'll call my wife in the middle of the day and I'll give her a call and I'll say, what are you doing? And she says the same thing 10 minutes ago when you called me. I'll call her a couple times throughout the day. I just want to hear her voice. I ask her what she's doing. I called her twice this morning already. And then I ask her, what are you doing? And what's going on? How are the kids? And how are you? I like to hear her voice. When we got out of the van, she dropped me off at the airport last night, and when I got out of the van, I loved just to lean over and give her a kiss and spend a few moments with her before the police officer came up behind us and said, get moving. I wanted to say to that police officer, don't you understand? I like to spend time with her. I don't want to leave her. I love to spend time with her. I love to hear her voice. I love to see her. I love to hear her dreams. And listen to me, that's the way it ought to be with God, delighting ourselves in God. Do you love to spend time with God? Do you love to hear his voice? Do you love to just know his presence? Do you love to read his word and find confidence in his word? Christian, if you're going through a trial, if you're going through a trouble, if you're going through a difficulty in life, trust in the Lord. He can help you, and delight yourself in him, even in the struggles. You know, sometimes we go, as Christians, we go through struggles in life. We go through trials in life, and it's like we go through moping, and we think that that's the way to act. I'm trusting the Lord. How are you doing? I'm doing good. I'm saved, but boy, everything's miserable. But God's faithful, and so we'll trust him. It ought to be this. Listen to me. There's troubles all around us. I don't have all the answers. I don't know what the future holds. I don't know what the diagnosis is going to be, but I know this, that I love spending time with God. I know this, that there's nothing like being in the presence of God. I don't know what the future is going to hold with this problem, but I know this, there's nothing like spending time in the presence of God. Oh, what a world would see if Christians, while going through trouble, delighted themselves in God. Delight themselves in the presence of God. What are your desires this morning? I find this in verse number 5. The Bible says to commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. We're to trust him. We're to delight ourselves in him. And the Bible says we're to commit our way unto him. You know, it's difficult when things don't go right to say I'm committed to things not going right. But if it's God's plan to have trouble, we're to commit ourselves to that. We're to say, God, you know what's best. My desire may be different. My will may be different. But I want to submit myself to what you have for me. I want to commit myself to you. You know, it's easy to trust God. It's easy to say I'm going to follow God when everything goes the way I want it to go. You know, when the wife's healthy and the children are healthy and the grandchildren are healthy and the bills are paid and the house is paid for and we have everything we need and there's food in the pantry and gas in the car, it's easy to say God's a good God, but are you committed when things aren't the way you want it to be? Are you committed? Are you committed to trusting in God? Are you committed in the way of the Lord even when life doesn't look like the way you want it to look? Is God still good? Is God still great? Is God still powerful? Do you still choose his path? You know, I think the psalmist is trying to get us to understand when we go through troubles, when we go through trials, don't try to look around and say, it seems like the lost have it better. How does the lost have it better when we have God on our side? He's saying this, trust in God. You can trust in his character. You can trust in his word. You can trust in his purpose. You can trust in his promise. You can trust in his power and delight yourself. Spend time with God. Enjoy spending time with God even in the midst of your trials. This is the next level for us in trials. Commit our works. Commit our ways. Come to the place in life where we say, God, I'm surrendered to this. I'm surrendered to whatever you have. Even if it's a trouble, even if it's a trial, even if I look around and it seems like those that don't know you have a better life, I am committed to the ways you have for me. You know, we need to get to the place in our life that no matter what happens, we need to commit ourselves to God's way. It's not for us to choose if we like it or not. It's not for us to choose. It's what I would have done or not. If it's what God has planned, then our response is to commit ourselves to it. It's our self to say, it's our desire then to say, God, I'm going to do it to the best of our ability. I'm going to do it with your strength. I'm going to do it with your power. I'm going to do it because it's your plan for my life. And then lastly, I want you to see in verse number 7, the Bible says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. You know, I think this is the hardest thing to do as a human being, rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for him. You know, that rest means this, just totally surrender to him. Totally surrender to him. You know, there's nothing like, if you've had children, there's nothing like one of your children resting in your arms. Watching them sleep. Looking at them and they're so comfortable and so peaceful. You know, that's where God wants us to be as his children. You know, God says here in verse number 7, rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for him. You know, when we're in troubles and we're in trials, when things get difficult all around us, it's not time for us to get upset and start to worry and start to scamper and start to do things that make no sense. It's time for us. The world needs to see how Christians behave. When troubles come, we don't lose our mind. When troubles come, we rest in the Lord. When troubles come, we don't lose control. When troubles come, we wait patiently on him. When troubles come, we don't get anxious, we don't get fearful, and we don't start getting angry. We don't blame all those around us. When troubles come, we rest in the Almighty God. And we patiently wait upon him. You know, that last part of that area there, that verse, wait patiently on him, that's difficult, isn't it? You know, we live in a world, we want it today. We were in a store, and a lady, it was later in the evening, and the cashiers were down to just a couple, and the lady, there was about three or four people in front of her, and she was getting angry. She said to she said, I want to see a manager. I don't think it's fair that I have to wait. I'm looking, I'm thinking, you're just a couple people behind here. How many of you go through a fast food restaurant here, and if there's two or three cars in that line there, you get upset? I got to wait? I thought this was fast food. I want to get through here. We don't like lines. We don't like to wait. We don't like to have patience. But God says there's times that I put things in your life because I want you to wait upon me. Listen to me, there's trials that God will put you through. There's difficulties that God puts you through just because he wants to see your rest in him and wait upon him. What do we do when trials come? We trust in the Lord. What do we do when trials come? We delight ourselves in the Lord. What do we do when trials come? We commit our works unto our way unto the Lord. What do we do when trials come? We rest in the Lord. We wait patiently for him, knowing this, that his timing is always right. Don't get ahead of God. If you're going through areas in your life that are causing you concern, Christian, this morning, don't get ahead of God. Wait on him and let him perform what he's trying to perform in your life. I've said this before. It's better to wait on him than have to go through it again because we didn't wait. If God's teaching us something and molding us, it's better just to let him do his perfect work than have to go through it again because we tried to get out of what he wanted us to go through. Christian, this morning, if you're going through a trial, trust in him, delight in him, commit thy way unto him, rest in him. And maybe you're here this morning and you say, I can't do that because I don't know him. Maybe you're here this morning and you've got so much stress and so much turmoil in your life and so much going through your mind and your heart. You don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. You can rest in him, but first what you need to do is trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. He died on the cross to save you. He shed his blood as the payment for your sin. And this morning I invite you to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. There's no rest unless you find it in Christ. You can't trust anything unless you're trusting in the Lord. There's nothing worth delighting in unless you're delighting in God. And there's no way that's right other than God's way. Commit to it. Rest in him.
Thank you for joining us today. For more information, please visit us on the web at www.monclovabaptist.org.